Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Hey, welcome back to another week of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart, and Brian Myers is out in Lincoln, Nebraska selling stuff. So he's going to miss us. And we're going to miss him, I'm sure.
Indeed.
So, yeah. So, you know, what is he selling?
As you like personal effects, you know, the couch.
Well, I was thinking
the
fine
china.
Rating his kitchen utensils, telling his wife Debbie, "Hey, the sofa's got to go."
There you go.
So no, he's with his business. He's picked up a line that requires some sales calls beyond just some service work that his business normally does. So he's going to be busy. I think he's going to miss a few weeks this month and next, and but hopefully he'll get back in the swing of things and we'll have him back in studio. Mm-hmm. So you guys are stuck with me, just me. And we might bring in some guest co-hosts when he's gone too, but we'll see. Anyway, do you like painting?
Yeah, kind of.
Rooms, that is. Not,
rooms?
Not, yeah,
I actually painted houses for a couple years when
Maybe
I was
Maybe I
a lot
need
younger.
To hire you. So we've got this project going, and it's been this two-week-long project, which is sad for painting a small bedroom. But Morgan moved out just a little, you know, a little while ago, and his room's been sitting empty, and you know, I'm stuck right now in the basement office down or corner of my basement for my office. So it's so cliche being a blogger, but at least I own the house, and I only wear pajamas part of the time. So we thought we'd bring me up out of the basement. So
that'll be nice.
Yeah. So right now we got primer on, but you know, just doing it when I have time, and it's just I hate it. And then now that the primer's on, now we're trying to determine the colors. We picked out a couple samples, and we painted up on the wall. You know, and my wife says, "I hate that one. I don't really like that." So, looks like we're back to square one. So I'm thinking, great, we're gonna sample prime. You know, so because these are bold samples, so I don't think we could paint over them necessarily.
Right.
Unless my idea was maybe just take the samples and just paint the house or the room with just samples.
I think that sounds wonderful.
And Cheryl's like, "Are you out of your mind?" So, anyway, it's been an interesting week politics wise. Donald Trump released a list of Supreme Court potential nominees given to him. Basically, the Heritage Foundation and the Federalist Society were spoon feeding him a list of judges, and these are. It's a pretty good list from everything I've read. I don't necessarily know these folks personally or know of them, but everything I've read sounds pretty good. The problem is with Donald Trump is that he's starting to walk it back. So will he actually follow through on it? Who knows?
Yeah.
Somebody said to me, this is the olive branch that he's extending to you conservatives.
Yeah.
Are you going to listen? Are you going to just reject the olive branch? I am never Trump. I'm going to be never Trump. I'm not going to vote for him this November.
Right.
Now, if he does this and he follows through and he nominates some good judges, I will be delightfully surprised. I will issue a mea culpa on the radio. And he has a potential of winning my vote for reelection. But I have no proof that he's actually going to do any of these things.
Right.
So, because, you know, one thing, he's just, his character is just questionable. And speaking of character, I've got a clip of him being interviewed by Sean Hannity, and he's responding to a piece in the New York Times that talks about his womanizing past. Shocker that was going to be run. But he brings up an interesting defense.
You know, this sort of sets a stage. People have seen this. People have seen Carrie. They've seen Roanne. They've seen others now that are coming forward that were mentioned in that story, which frankly wasn't even that bad, if you want to know the truth. It's not like I hope that people that haven't read
it. It was 20 pages printed.
No, but I mean, yeah. In one case, I don't know, it's like minor stuff. I said to one of the women, I said, you shouldn't have a piece of candy. Okay, that was...
I tell my kids that
all
the time.
How do you compare that against Clinton, okay, what Clinton's done?
What about what Clinton's done? How big an issue should that be in the campaign? For example, I looked at the New York Times. Are they going to interview Juanita Broderick? Are they going to interview Paula Jones? Are they going to interview Kathleen Willey? In one case, it's about exposure. In another case, it's about groping and fondling and touching against a woman's will.
And rape. Big settlements, massive settlements.
$850,000 for Paula Jones.
And lots of other things. And impeachment for lying.
Smearing, yeah. Besmirchment.
And losing your law license. You know, he lost his law license, okay? Couldn't practice law. And you don't read about this on Clinton.
Let me ask you.
Now, the New York Times, and if you look at Stephanopoulos, these are like the pipe organs for Hillary Clinton. Stephanopoulos, I get on a show the other day. It started, I couldn't believe it. And I actually said to him, look, obviously you're representing your, you know, he gave a lot of money to the foundation. He never told anybody. But you look at some of the people, the dishonesty. I'll tell you what, I'm in a pretty tough business, real estate. I meet some tough people, but I have never seen lies and deception like I see in not only with the people, not only with the politicians, but when you're in politics, it is a deceiving, it's really a pretty rough profession.
Okay.
And I will say this, the political press.
We could turn him off right now. I really? He's going to complain about deceiving and deception and lies. Donald Trump. Fascinating. Anyway, his defense was, oh, minor stuff. And Hannity's giggling. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I just told this lady, you know, not to eat a piece of candy. And Hannity's going, I tell my kids that too. Except she was probably a 25-year-old woman. I don't know exactly. I skimmed parts of the article. So his defense is, it wasn't that bad. Look at Bill Clinton. Okay. Bill Clinton was a womanizer. No denying that.
Mm-hmm.
If you deny that, I think you're a fool. He is straight on his wife. Whether he has done everything that he's been accused of, same is true with Donald Trump. Donald Trump's been accused of numerous things, including rape himself.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean they've actually done it. Right. So guilty until proven, innocent, guilty until proven innocent in the court of popular opinion, innocent right. until proven guilty in the court of law. This is kind of a weak defense, folks, because, and I see Republicans, even who didn't support Trump during the primary, doing this now because now they're jumped on the Trump train. And my point is this, Bill Clinton is not on the ballot. Hillary Clinton is likely going to be.
That's
so,
right.
How responsible is she for what her husband has done? You know, I guess you could argue, do we want a first spouse like that? I think it's kind of a weak argument since he was president for 8 years.
Right.
And we knew about the stuff when he was in the Oval Office.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like this stuff wasn't written about, because why do we even know this? Because it was written about.
Yeah.
So it's been covered. It's just older news. I'll side with Donald Trump this way. Yes, the New York Times are going to be more favorable to Hillary Clinton than they're going to be to him. That's just how they've always operated in a general election. They've never favored the Republican. Hey, you're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and this is Shane Vanderhart, and Brian is out, so you're stuck with me. Another Trump clip. I know you're excited about this. Donald Trump made peace with Megyn Kelly, and they had a sit-down interview in Trump Tower on Fox News this week. And she asks him, what about the mistakes you made during your campaign?
Made any mistakes in this campaign? You had said publicly you thought the retweet about Heidi Cruz was a mistake. Let me just...
Well, I said I could have done without it.
to be exact. I mean, I could have done without
it. You said a mistake. Are you walking that back?
No, I'm not walking it back. But I actually didn't say it that way. I said I could have done without it. I mean,
but it was a mistake, wasn't it? I mean, that you shouldn't have done that, right?
I wish I didn't do it. Although, you know, I guess you could say she's fair game because she's very much involved with the campaign. But I don't know. She just seems like a nice woman. Well, you know what? I have millions of followers at Real Donald Trump. I have millions of followers. I have millions of
Facebook. I'm familiar.
Yes, you are. The thing that gets me in trouble is retweets. Mm-hmm. The retweet is really more of a killer than the tweets. The tweets I seem to do pretty well with.
So that's one, the Heidi Cruz thing. Let me just give you a list of a couple and tell me whether you have any regrets on it.
Go ahead.
The comment about John McCain, you prefer people who weren't captured. The comment about Carly Fiorina's face. But do you regret any of those comments?
Yeah, I guess so, but you have to go forward. You make a mistake, you go forward, and you know, you can correct the mistake, but to look back and say, gee whiz, I wish I didn't do this or that, I don't think that's good. I don't even think, in a certain way, I don't even think that's healthy.
That's fascinating. It's not healthy to have regret.
Yeah.
Hmm. Hey, I'll put that on my tombstone. No, I...
Shane died with no regrets.
I hope I don't have regret. Not because I didn't make mistakes, but because I, you know, and Trump did say correct mistakes, but nothing about saying I'm sorry, nothing about an apology. Instead, mm-hmm. he kind of says, well, in a way, she was fair game. No, Donald Trump, Heidi Cruz was not fair game. Not fair game, especially the what you did. I mean, now, if you were addressing something that she said about you, that would be a different story.
Indeed.
But you were responding, and again, I know with the retweets, and he said later in the interview, it's like, yeah, if I get in trouble with the retweets, now you want to see the stuff that I don't retweet, which I don't even want to imagine because of some of the stuff I do see him putting out.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got an interesting Twitter following, and actually there's been speculation that a lot of his Twitter followers, not a good chunk, are actually fake accounts. So it's interesting. So you can actually pay people to bolster your Twitter followers and this has been done before. Mm-hmm. I would not recommend. I'd rather encourage, like kind of like what I do, just slow Twitter growth. That way you're actually followed by real people.
Indeed.
Interesting. Hillary Clinton declares the primary over on CNN.
So you get into the general election if you're the nominee for your party.
I will be the nominee for my party, Chris. That is already done, in effect. There is no way that I won't be.
There is a senator from Vermont who has a different take on that.
Well,
he says he's going to fight to the end.
Yeah,
and there seems to be a change here as Donald Trump is trying to galvanize his party. In the Democratic Party, it seems to be going the other way. His supporters have become more aggressive, feeling that the system is rigged against the senator. We saw what happened in Nevada. When you saw that, did you believe that Sanders responded the right way to that situation?
Well, I was very disturbed by what went on there. But I am confident.
With him or with the supporters?
Well, what we saw. What we saw
the
there.
Supporters.
Well, what we saw was disturbing. And, you know, I have every confidence.
She's got the Clinton ability to just totally deflect the question and never answer it.
I'm not going to answer that.
I was disturbed. I'm not going to tell you what I was disturbed by, but I was disturbed by what we saw. What did you see? The support? No, by what we saw. Interesting. So anyway, according to Hillary Clinton, it's over. It's done deal. I mean, she does have a huge delegate lead, so I can definitely understand why she's... why she's confident that mm-hmm. she'll be the nominee.
Yeah.
She also said this week that she was sick of Republican and Democrat teams. She was crying out for bipartisanship. Clip six.
If somebody has a better idea, I don't care if it's a Republican idea, an independent idea, a Democratic idea. I don't care where it comes from. If it's a good idea, then by definition, it's an American idea.
Yay!
And we ought to roll up our sleeves and make sure it works. And I'll tell you, I'm tired of people being on the Republican team or the Democratic team or the red team or the blue team. Let's be on the American team like the 101st Airborne is at Fort Campbell.
Okay, here's the thing, though.
Rally the troops.
I'm sick of Republican outreach across the aisle. There's this little thing back in October. Go ahead and play clip 7.
Okay.
Well, in addition to the NRA, the health insurance companies, the drug companies, the Iranians, probably the Republicans.
She was giving her enemies list. I'm tired of Republican teams and Democrat teams. Republicans, they're just as bad as the Iranians. So I'm sorry. This talk of bipartisanship from Hillary Clinton, she is a true partisan.
Mm-hmm.
Whether she'll eventually be as pragmatic as her husband if she wins the presidency, time will tell. One thing I have to give Bill Clinton credit where credit is due here is that when he lost the midterms after 98, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He moderated himself. He was kind of running to the left because Democrats run to the left. I've been to a number of Democrat debates and it's frightening how they run to the left.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just walk away thinking these people are crazy. because you don't hear necessarily all this when the general election comes out. Same's true with Republicans. They run to the right. And they tend to moderate themselves a little bit anyway or become an etch-a-sketch candidate like Mitt Romney.
Romney, he sucks! Hey!
Yeah, etch-a-sketch. I'm surprised his communications director was never fired for that. But anyway. Oh, lots more. Next segment, we'll have Jennifer Bowen in from Iowa Right to Life talking about what in the world is going on in Southwest Iowa. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates. Keeping your operations running.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance you need. So, in studio, it's very rare when we actually get to have in-studio guests. A good friend of mine, Jennifer Bowen from Iowa Right to Life, the executive director with Iowa Right to Life, decided to join us because there's just stuff going on down in Southwest Iowa.
Stuff.
I'm sure there's stuff going on all the time in Southwest Iowa, except I just normally don't pay attention to it. But this stuff has caught my eye, this stuff. Anyway, Planned Parenthood, your favorite organization.
Yes, I've talked about them a time or two.
By the way, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Well, good morning.
Brian's always getting on my case about my manners. I never welcome people. I just dive in.
I'm a New Yorker. I completely understand. You just things to talk about.
Right. So your
formalities aside.
Right. Your favorite organization, Planned Parenthood.
I think they might have heard my name a time or two.
I'm sure they have. Planned Parenthood of the Heartland specifically has closed 13, 14?
16, actually. 16 since 2010.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And the latest one was where?
The latest one was actually in Dubuque. They just closed back at the end of April. They announced earlier this year they were closing when they could sell the building. So many, many people went to work in Dubuque trying to figure out who was going to buy the building. And that happened at the end of April. And they Planned Parenthood moved out of that building. And actually, it was just announced this past Sunday on the 15th that it was the Pro-Life Medical Clinic, Clarity Clinic, that purchased
Great.
The Planned Parenthood building. And they are in the process of moving in and expanding their services. Truly a pro-life medical clinic offering options to women. And so very, very exciting days in
now,
Dubuque.
Now, that Planned Parenthood clinic, was that just the webcam abortion or did they do surgical abortions
Not ever do surgical there.
Okay.
They did webcam. They opened a little over 8 years ago. And from the moment that they opened, the people of Dubuque went out, they prayed, they picketed every single hour that they were open. So they never did expand to surgical, but they did several years of webcam abortion.
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, we think of Eastern Iowa and Dubuque as Democrat territory, but Dubuque is really heavily Catholic.
Very much so.
And you know, there's a lot of the strong pro-life presence there. So that's encouraging to see, you know, another clinic close. We love it when clinics close.
It's very addicting.
So.
I've told a good friend of mine, Jim Sedlak of Stop Planned Parenthood International. And I told him a couple of months back in a meeting I had with him that I said, you know, closing clinics is pretty addicting.
It is.
Once you start, you can't stop. And so we've got 13 more to go here in Iowa.
So... Okay, I'm going to ask the stupid question. What do you think is causing this? Obviously, prayer, God. Are they seeing revenue shrink up, though, too?
They are. Actually, we have a great handout on our website, iowartl.org, about that. And it's directly related to last year's annual report for Planned Parenthood. And what we're seeing is it's a fact sheet called We Think the Numbers Are Black and White. And the spreadsheet directly... It correlates that the services at Planned Parenthood are significantly dropping while their fundraising and their revenue is growing. And so what we're seeing is really women figuring out that Planned Parenthood is an organization that only offers abortion and abortion-related services.
But
and I know
the
they
women's
do so.
House.
I know, and mammograms.
I hear it all the time when I...
Mammograms.
Mammograms. And
mammasham is what it is.
I have to admit, yes, I listen to radio stations other than this one.
Oh, the horror.
I do listen to this one, though. And I occasionally hear commercials come up, and they're talking about how, you know, Planned Parenthood's from, you know, I get my health care from. And
yes.
I'm thinking, what health care?
Exactly. Number one, abortion is not health care.
Right.
And that is their primary service. And also one of the things that we've had, I think, a significant impact on in the conversation is when we've gone out into fair booths and all of that across the state, the last several years, obviously, we talked about the dangers of webcam abortion. Oftentimes, we've had conversations with women who come up and profess that they're pro-choice. We start, you know, we say, let's talk. And we find out that these women don't know about webcam abortion. To get to the end of the conversation, we say, if Planned Parenthood doesn't care enough to provide a doctor for women in a webcam abortion, how can they say that they care for women?
Right.
And that really opens a lot of eyes for people that they're like, oh, I didn't think about that. And so they might not walk away completely on the same side as us, as the concern that we have for Planned Parenthood, or concern about Planned Parenthood, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
But they understand that, wow, this is an organization that truly doesn't care for women. Because if they did, they would provide a doctor for an abortion. They would provide other services. You know, we've had a situation in one place in Iowa where a woman peeled out of the driveway. She's angry beyond belief, leaving a Planned Parenthood. And she stopped to talk to the people praying on the sidewalk. And they said, what's the matter? And she said, they invited me here because I have stage 4 cervical cancer. They told me they could help me. And they all they wanted to do was push push condoms and their agenda on me. They can't offer any help for me. And I'm like, of course they can't, because they're not
an oncologist.
They're not an oncologist. They're not anybody that's qualified. They're pushing abortion. And so that is really one of the, I think, the eye-opening things for the majority of society, is recognizing that, you know, with the rise of federally qualified health care centers, 213, I believe, here in Iowa, to the 13 Planned Parenthoods, I think, to your question, a lot of people are choosing, a lot of women are choosing qualified healthcare centers that right. provide a whole array of whole women's health over an organization that really just drives the abortion agenda.
Now, don't they were contracted with Obamacare, through the federal government with Obamacare, to help register people. Correct?
Oh, they are. Yes, they are registered.
So they're providing healthcare that way,
yes,
right?
Yes, they are just such a benevolent organization. Yes, they have had several places in Iowa where they were providers, where they would offer, you know, public, and I never did go, so I don't know how successful that was, but they had their hand out and they received the money for that. And they're very good, especially here in Iowa, they're very good at figuring out all of the ways that they can qualify for our tax dollars.
Speaking
which
of which,
is at work at in Southwest Iowa.
Yes, and you're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts. You are listening to Shane Vanner. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. I've got Jennifer Bone, Iowa Right to Life, in studio with us. Speaking of the federal monies in Southwest Iowa, what's going on there?
So a couple of months back, we had a concerned citizen down in Southwest Iowa contact us, and they had become aware of, through a local newspaper, of this program called Teen Pregnancy Prevention Initiative. It's supposedly a pregnancy.
It sounds good.
It sounds so, I mean, they're great with words. They really are great with words. And so this individual was very concerned about it, because the information tracked back to Planned Parenthood if you went a layer or two deeper. And so this individual started going to some of the meetings and became alarmed at what was happening. What we have discovered is that there is a $100 million grant total, because President Barack Obama is so very concerned about a teen pregnancy, you know, and preventing that. And, mm-hmm. you know, if you don't know me, that's a little bit sarcastic.
Yeah, because so, you basically scuttled all of President Bush's abstinence initiatives.
Yes, and that's played into this conversation down mm-hmm. there as well. And so Planned Parenthood of the Heartland is one of many organizations across the country that have received a portion of this $100 million. Planned Parenthood of the Heartland has received $5 million of those dollars, and the grant covers four counties in Iowa and two counties in Nebraska. You'll remember that Planned Parenthood of the Heartland, based in Des Moines, now has, they oversee Iowa, Nebraska, eastern Oklahoma, and Arkansas.
Okay, six counties, $5 million.
Yes.
And gee, when I was in the nonprofit world,
can you imagine?
I can't even imagine getting $1 million, and we covered more territory than that.
As I, we have a lot of ideas for what Iowa Right to Life could do with $1 million.
right. Yeah.
Let alone, we're not even being greedy. I mean, we're not asking for $5 million. And so, yes, so three of those counties are in Southwest Iowa. One of them is up in Sioux City, Woodbury County.
Okay.
So there are the three that are, and it's already hard at work, I believe. Now I'm blanking. I do know this. I'm sorry. Pottawatomie County is one of them.
Sure.
Mills and I want to say Montgomery, but I don't think that's right. I'll think of it. I apologize.
No problem.
And so we became very concerned, because what's happening is they're not wasting any time spending $5 million, particularly in places like Shenandoah. I'm sorry, I'm not a native. Shenandoah.
I wouldn't have known that either.
You do if you spend some time in Shenandoah.
Yeah.
Shenandoah, Clarinda, Stanton, mm-hmm. Are some of the key cities that are targeted, but it's really a problem across Southwest Iowa.
Okay, so teenage pregnancies running rampant across Southwest Iowa?
That's what they'd like to say, but even I can read their statistics are bunk. You know, I mean, basically Planned Parenthood comes up with their own, they have a long history of this. They come up with their own statistics and then they're bunk, but that's how they get their foot in the door.
I can kind of see it in Council Bluffs and I can kind of see it in Sioux City, but in rural Iowa, that's, I grew up in rural Iowa, in a small town Iowa, and that was just a rarity.
Yes. Well, and here's one important thing to know too about this grant is they cloak it as Teen Pregnancy Prevention Initiative. However, they are starting Planned Parenthood in Southwest Iowa and probably other counties that we're not aware of yet. Planned Parenthood is in classrooms as young as kindergarten through this initiative. Wow. So they are in kindergarten through 12th grade with their programs. Now, in kindergarten through third grade is one of the ways that they're utilizing this this grant money. And that's, you know, I'm not more concerned or less concerned than one age group, but I am terrified of Planned Parenthood getting their hands on little kindergartners, first, second, third graders.
Right.
And they're doing it under the purview of a program called Ready, Set, Know, KNOW. And it's a program that's through the ISU Extension Office. Planned Parenthood down there is one of the providers that have gone through and learned how to offer this class. The concerning thing about this class is that it is teaching children the differences between good touches and bad touches. And anytime you talk about Planned Parenthood in a room with kindergarten, first and second grade, and everything, and it really snowballs into a whole lot of other problems that we're seeing.
Frankly, for kindergarten, anything is a bad touch.
Well, and how did we make it through kindergarten not having these conversations? I don't know how in the world I'm surviving.
I mean, I
don't want to diminish I don't want to diminish a world of pedophilia. I don't want to diminish a world where, you know, human trafficking in Iowa even is on the rise. But you don't send, you know, parents down in Southwest Iowa have been amazing. They are saying, you know, we're not saying don't have this conversation with our children. We're saying don't let the wolf in the hen house. We're saying don't let the Planned Parenthood, who has a history of covering up sex abuse, has a history of, you know, protecting pimps, has a history, a long history of, you name it, they've done it.
Right.
Don't let them teach. They're the problem, not the solution.
Absolutely.
And they, you know, they're starting with kindergarten, you know, on up. Obviously, they're going to spike the rates of abortion. And already, you know, one of the things that I do in my job is I do follow the Planned Parenthood job postings. And not surprising, but very alarming, they are bulking up staff in Southwest Iowa.
Sure.
They look like they're moving.
You gotta spend that money somewhere.
Exactly. And they're looking like they're moving back to surgical abortions in Sioux City. As well as probably opening, because all of this really goes back to webcam abortion that can really happen anywhere in Iowa because the Supreme Court ruled against us, and webcam abortion is their moneymaker. $1,200 on an abortion where a doctor doesn't have to be present.
Right.
That's so a whole lot of money.
Basically with the grant, they can pay for the basic infrastructure.
Yes.
And it's not going to take that much more money, non-federal money, to pay for everything else that they need to have there.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Right. And I think that, and they're wasting no time, and they've gone into, you know, Shenandoah is the town where in 2010, Planned Parenthood was caught in the high school classroom teaching horrific things. And it made it onto the Fox News network and all sorts. I mean, national news, what was happening there. And Planned Parenthood is back in Shenandoah and saying, hey, we're here and you're going to like it or not.
And they need to tell them to get out.
And the community is rising up. June 4th, there'll be a march in Shenandoah saying we're not going to accept this.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We're listening to Jennifer Bowen of Iowa Right to Life. Pray for Southwest Iowa.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give him a call at 515-292-7141 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org. Now we've come to our time to discuss news that hopefully you can use. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this whole thing, ever since we talked about last week with President Obama's transgender bathroom edict, mm-hmm. and you still have this whole thing going on in North Carolina. The Charlotte Observer, which is kind of the biggest newspaper, I believe, in the state of North Carolina, wrote an editorial, and it was entitled Taking the Fear Out of Bathrooms. They write, Republicans in North Carolina have made the most of those fears, framing HB2, which is a law that overrode Charlotte's ordinance, framing HB2 as a law that protects the safety and privacy of women and children. Those safety issues are political fiction. Non-transgender men wouldn't have been allowed in women's bathrooms under the Charlotte ordinance that HB2 killed. And the 200 or so cities with similar ordinances have had no incidents involving bathroom predators. That leaves the issue of privacy and the oft-stated notion of women and girls sharing bathrooms and locker rooms with someone who has different genitalia. It's an image that's uncomfortable even for some who are sympathetic to the transgender cause. The administration's letter addresses, let's talk about the Barack Obama's administration's letter, addresses that uneasiness head on, at least with regards to schools. The letter includes a 25-page attachment detailing emerging practices at U.S. districts that already are supporting transgender students, along with the policies on issues such as dress codes and transgender student records. The document provides examples of how districts address the privacy needs of all students in bathrooms and locker rooms. This is what the Obama administration nudged the rest of the country toward Friday. Yes, the thought of male genitalia in girls' locker rooms and vice versa might be distressing to some, but the battle for equality has always been in part about overcoming discomfort. With blacks sharing facilities, with gays sharing marriage, and then realizing it was not so nearly as awful as some people imagined.
They're brain dead, right?
I think so. Really, you're going to compare this to Jim Crow laws?
It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
People have lost ever-loving minds.
That's right.
Here in Iowa, we've had transgenderism or gender identity as part of the Iowa Code, as part of our Civil Rights Act. So there's been protection for transgender students and adults since the Culver administration. It was passed under Governor Culver. So schools have already been making accommodations, but here's where this letter pushes them. And I read an article in Des Moines Register that acknowledged this. Right now, schools have been basically offering curtained off areas and for transgender students. They've been offering private facilities for transgender students. The Obama administration basically said that's not good enough.
Hmm.
They have to be able to use. You can't force them behind a curtain. You can't force them into a private facility. Now it's flipped. Well, if you're concerned about privacy, you have to use the private bathroom. You have to use so it's turned it upside down on its head.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing to me that they said, well, you know, they're just going to have to get over their discomfort of male genitalia in the women's bathroom or locker rooms. These people are just, they're tone deaf. Speaking of LGBT issues, the House votes down a LGBT measure barely. This is from The Hill. The failed amendment that basically failed on a 212 to 213 vote. Can't get any closer than that. But it's an amendment offered by Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney of New York, who's a Democrat, would have effectively nullified a provision in the Defense Authorization, this is the National Defense Authorization Act, that the House passed late Wednesday night. The language embedded in the defense bill states that religious corporations, associations, and institutions that receive federal contracts can't be discriminated against on the basis of religion. Democrats warned that such provision would potentially allow discrimination against the LGBT community in the name of religious freedom. Maloney's amendment specifically would prohibit funds to implement contracts with any company that does not comply with President Obama's executive order banning federal contractors from discriminating against LGBT workers. Several GOP lawmakers switched their votes from yes to no, and one of those included Congressman David Young, our congressman. I'm not so sure why he voted yes initially. Here's the thing. I'm going to assume that he probably didn't realize all that this language would accomplish, because newsflash, most of these congressmen don't read the bills.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the fact, because they're too stinking long.
Yeah.
So I wish he did take some time to read into it. I'm glad he switched his vote to no. I'm glad somebody informed him, saying, hey, we can't let this pass, because this would just totally nullify what we just passed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's scary that almost passed on a 212 to 213 vote. And it's not, I guess I say this was an LGBT measure, not necessarily. I mean, because it was just striking, it was nullifying a religious exemption. It concerns me that they're trying to nullify a religious exemption, because they don't know that this is going to hurt LGBT folks. And frankly, in most cases, especially when you're dealing with national defense, I'm not even sure what religious organizations they're dealing with anyway that would receive federal money from the Department of Defense. I know there's some ministries that work with military kids, but I don't know if they receive any federal funding. Mm-hmm. So I'm not entirely sure who this would impact. But anyway, it got voted down, and I mentioned, because David Young was part of the scrum, and hopefully we'll get him on here. We can ask him about that soon. General election polls. Trump is actually starting to poll better nationally.
Mm.
So, okay, I'm going to have to acknowledge that. I didn't think that was going to happen. But I've been wrong about Donald Trump quite a bit, so not surprised. Just one, there's basically three polls that recently came out. One has Clinton up by 6 points. That was the CBS News, New York Times polls, which Trump would say, New York Times, they're obviously against me. But Fox News had Trump up by 3, 45% to 42%. Rasmussen had Trump up by 5. 42% to 37%. Sanders, maybe we need to think, we really need to be polling for
Bernie?
Yeah, well, no, not poll for Bernie. We're happy that Bernie's not going to win the nomination, because he's been polling better against Donald Trump than Hillary Clinton has.
Wow, yeah.
And Hillary's been leading Trump. So right now, in that same Fox News poll, Sanders leads Trump by 4 points. Frankly, they're both bad. So, pick your poison, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I'm choosing option C. I still haven't determined what option C is. One potential is Libertarian Party. I can't say I'm a huge fan of Gary Johnson, mm-hmm. based on some of his policies. So I don't know if I could vote for him either. But it's interesting that Fox News, when they added... Okay, they asked the question of voters twice. One, they asked would you choose Donald Trump or would you choose Hillary Clinton? And it was a 3 point three-point difference. But then they threw Gary Johnson in there, and it was still 3 point difference between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. But Johnson got 10%.
Wow,
which they need to start polling third party candidates more, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, he pulled an equal amount, I thought it was interesting, from Trump and from Clinton. So anyway, news you can use. We'll be following that. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment. Put me on the cover of the Rolling Stone, Uptown, Down Home.
You're pretty sure you know why he treated you that way, or do you? I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Assuming the motives and interests of others is a great way to fan the flames in a conflict. Such bias tends to impact our words, attitudes, and actions. But what if you spent more time and energy really trying to understand the potential interests this person has? Try giving him the benefit of the doubt and look for wholesome or at least neutral motives. Seeking to understand another person allows you to approach him with a spirit of gentleness that God commands in Galatians 6:1. You who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. The next time you are in a conflict, employ the peacemaker pause principle. The letter U is for understand the other party's interests. If you are confused about another person's motives, call 515-635-5465 to set up a free consultation or visit our website at crosswalkcounseling.org. Again, that number is 515-635-5465.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Hey, you know we do more than just a radio program, right? Check us out on our blog, caffeinatedthoughts.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Be our friend. We need friends. We like friends. We appreciate you, our listeners. We appreciate those who read. We wouldn't be doing what we're doing, obviously, if it weren't for people reading and listening.
Right.
Because, you know, as much as I like bloviating, you know, it's always better to do that with an audience. So we do appreciate you guys and hope you do stay connected with us on Facebook, on Twitter, sign up for our daily emails. And now we come to I'm going to say my favorite part. I like it, but it's really Brian's favorite part of the show, and he's the one who normally does this. We're about to share a story that is truly unbelievable. Yet, you know it must be true because
you can't make this stuff up.
Ron, I'm jazzed about this story because it's from Iowa. From KCCI in Carroll, Iowa. Well, KCCI is not in Carroll, but the story is based out of Carroll.
Mm-hmm.
A man found trapped in a chimney at an Iowa business Wednesday has pleaded not guilty to a trespassing charge. Jordan Kajewski?
That's a tongue twister.
Yeah, forgive me if I mispronounce that. I mispronounce a lot of names. So anyway, he spent at least 11 hours.
Wow.
I can't even imagine. Stuck inside a chimney. He told authorities he was playing hide and seek.
And obviously not claustrophobic.
Yes. apparently not. Brad Sapp, owner of the Carroll Redemption Center, said nothing too exciting ever happened at his shop in downtown Carroll. That is until Wednesday morning when he heard something in the back room. I was dragging some bags out and I heard a voice say what I thought was, "Get out of here." But in a whisper of a voice, said Sapp. So I kind of looked around and didn't see anything. Sapp says he went home and told his wife, made fun of him for hearing ghosts. His wife heard a sound coming from the shop's old chimney when they returned a few hours later. And that's when the guy finally came out and said, "Hey, I need help. I'm in the chimney," said Sapp. The couple called 911 to get the man out. "In my career as a firefighter, that's got to be one of the most unusual cases I've ever responded to," said Carroll Fire Chief Greg Schreck. Schreck said crews were able to see and communicate with this man, I'm not going to try to say his last name again, who was stuck towards the base of the chimney. He was very calm and relaxed, and he just wanted to get out of the chimney, said Schreck. He'd been in there a long time. The fire department's ladder truck was unable to help the man because he was too far down inside the chimney. Crews were forced to break the chimney brick wall to get this guy out. Daily Times Herald reporter Jared Strong, which is Carroll's hometown paper, mm-hmm. who arrived at the scene after hearing about the incident on police scanner traffic, reported that he was naked when firefighters pulled him out from the chimney. And he claimed that he was playing hide and seek when he got stuck. "I've been a crime reporter for a while now, and you've seen some crazy things. Although I don't think I've ever thought about seeing a naked man emerge from a chimney," said Strong. "I can't say I've ever thought about that either. I would like to know exactly, sir, who are you playing hide and seek with?
From.
Seek from, and was his clothing optional, and why?" He's lucky all he got was trespassing charges.
Yeah.
Because, hello, you don't play hide and seek inside other people's property.
Indeed.
don't go down a chimney. People died doing that, trying to be Santa.
Crazy.
Anyway, I'm jazzed. Weird, strange news from Carroll, Iowa. I suppose a lot of the weird things happen in Western Iowa. I'd like to hear more about. So if you know of weird things, especially if they happen in Iowa, we want to talk about that. So be sure to send your You Can't Make This Stuff Up ideas to story. It actually has to be a real story. You can't actually make something up, all right? Story at caffeinatedthoughts.com, and we'll give you the credit, most likely the blame, if we use your suggestion on the show. Well, it's been a great show.
Good show today.
We'll see if our listeners agree. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Bye.